Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Well, hello and welcome to the Following On podcast. I'm John Norman, and for the next 20 minutes or so, joined by Gareth Batty and Steve Harmison, looking back at day three from Green Park in Kanpur, where the first test match between India and New Zealand potentially has taken a decisive step towards a result. New Zealand bowled out on day three for 296, a deficit of 49 runs. But then Cole Jamieson snaffling at the wicket of Shubman Gill, meaning India lead at the end of day three by 63 runs. Two full days to come. So potential for a victor or possibly a draw. We shall see. Plenty to look back on a day where Akshar Patel took another fifer. And five runs is all that separated Latham with a much-deserved century. A couple of what-ifs, perhaps, for New Zealand as well. And an innings that we'll never, ever forget by Tom Blundell. You're listening to Following On. So, Gareth Batty, Steve Harmison, we'll start from the beginning, will we? Because it was absolutely New Zealand's day on day two. India knew they couldn't afford for that to happen again today. Otherwise, they would finally be behind in the match. And I suppose what we saw today was reason why, even with a score of 129 without loss, a deficit of just over 200 runs, we always felt that India still were in control of the game. And we saw that today, didn't we? We saw some brilliant bowling from Patel with the new ball. He took another fifer. And we essentially saw India strangle New Zealand a little bit. The runs are very, very difficult to come by. And whilst that was happening, the pressure was never really put back on India. How did you assess the day, Gareth?
Yeah, I think it was pretty much how Shreyas Iyer said yesterday, that they were going to try and dry up the runs and apply some pressure and take the wickets. And I think that's what they did pretty much all day. If you go through the economy rate of the three spinners, say, just to start off with, you've got Ashwin at 1.9, you've got Jadeja at 1.7, you've got Patel at 1.8. All three of them wonderful bowlers, wonderful skill. Somebody was going to take the wickets. It was Patel today who bowled brilliantly. He was able to bowl wide of the crease and challenge the inside edge, but also spin it from that angle, which Jadeja and Ashwin had found difficult. So it's good to have the three. Obviously, Ashwin chips in with his nice little three for at the end. And Jadeja took a fine wicket through the gate of the young left-handed batter. So, look, it will be changed around who takes the wickets. But while they're controlling the rate, as it was said the night before, the prescription of the cricket that's going to be played is absolutely nailed on. You're going to have to find a way to just rotate the strike, or you're going to have to take some big risks and try and hit one of them out of the attack.
Steve Harmison alongside you as well, Gareth Batty. Look, India is one of the few countries in the world where you want to be batting at the top of the order. And so it proved today. You know, the point was made by Jarrod Kimber before we got underway was that, you know, Tom Latham faced a huge job as a left-hander, facing the likes of Ravichandran and Ashwin. But the importance of runs from the first two batsmen, seriously important. And when you look at that scorecard, it's stark, isn't it? 95 for Latham, 89 for Young. Apart from that, only Jameson went past 20. If not for that opening partnership of 151, then you would have thought that India would feel they're probably just a couple of sessions away from winning. It was a crucial opening partnership.
Yeah, it was, and not without luck. I think there was a couple of times that Tom Latham have gone to DRS. I think in the old days, before DRS, New Zealand would have been out for 120, 140. I think Tom Latham overturned two LBW shouts, and then he should have been LBW if it wasn't for, I think the umpire, Nitin Mellon, was sticking his middle finger up. I think he gave Ravi Ashwin the bird there for running in front of him, because I think he was just sick of him, because he was stone dead, was Tom Latham. And he wasn't given out. And yeah, that's not Tom Latham's fault. That was the petulance of Ravi Ashwin with the umpire. And like you say, 95 and 89 for Latham and Young, respectively. That was always going to be the tower of strength with Cale Williamson at the top of the order. That's where they need the bulk of the runs. And again, they stood up. But after that, it's very, very difficult to start on these surfaces. And especially when you've got three spinners of the quality that India have got. That once you do come in and the noise from the crowd gets going and the atmosphere around the bat gets going, it is so important and vital that your opening pair do withstand some of the pressure that the new ball, then the first spell of the spin bowlers do give you. So they did that. They're still in the game, I think, just largely down to DRS going their way. But Will Young and Tom Latham was a fantastic partnership.
Well, let's hear how it sounded here on TalkSport 2.
Edged off, first slip, third slip, and it's gone through second slip. Oh, they've gambled with their slips, and it's come up not trumped. Oh, that's four runs, full, two straight from Ishan. Beautiful leg glance from Will Young. Ishan Sharma in once again, and that one's driven past the catching extra cover, out towards the cover boundary for four.
Yeah. Oh, that's caught behind. Outside from Ashwin. It's sad for Will Young, because that was a magnificent innings from him. And he's very frustrated as he leaves the ground. Ishan Sharma again, outside of stump, and this is just punched perfectly. It's just so low-energy cricket, really. But perfect timing by Tom Latham, and that goes out for four to the cover boundary.
Oh, that's chopped away off the back foot by Williamson. It's beautifully played. It's gone for four. It's beaten cover point.
Oh, I tell you what, he's just bowled an absolute... Oh, he's been given. He's been given. I thought that was going well over the top.
Gone.
Kane Williamson is out.
Yeah, and we shouldn't forget, should we, guys, that despite the run rate really slowing to a crawl, if Williamson has survived another three deliveries, then just about would have been New Zealand's session, because Williamson fell right on the stroke of lunch. Will Young missing out on a century again, narrowly so. He was out for 89. But did you see a difference in the way that the Indian spinners, the Indian bowlers, came out to bowl this morning? Was it just about controlling the run rate, and they knew that eventually that pressure would tell bats?
Particularly the last session of the second day, I felt like they were just getting into the groove. There's a definite rhythm to Test cricket for the bowlers in particular. There is for the batters, obviously, but sometimes the batters are dictated to by the bowlers. And I just felt they hit better areas consistently. They had better understanding of what speed and trajectory they were going to bowl on this surface to get more out of it. And they mixed it up quite nicely to challenge both edges of the bat. I suppose on this day, and it's obvious to say with Akshar Patel getting the five wickets, I felt like he used the crease better than possibly the other two. So he was able to get wide on the crease to challenge the inside edge of the right-handed batters and try and get them coming down the wicket to then just drag his line a fraction wider, or just to clip the outside of off stump for the odd outside edge ball. And we saw a great take from the keeper at one point. But I felt like they just had a stranglehold on the game. And India, once that first partnership had gone, and bearing in mind it was a partnership of 151 runs, there was nothing of substance after that in a partnership. And they really struggled to rotate the strike. And I suppose without throwing him under the bus, Blundellfist, I think it was 84 dot balls in his innings. That kind of sums up how that sort of bowling period and the sessions went. It was sort of a three-hour period where India just strangled the life out of the New Zealand batters and gave them nothing and made it very difficult to score. And there was always going to be a ball in it with skillful bowlers.
The first wicket going the way of Ashwin, the second for Yadav. But there was, as you may mention, Harmy, a little bit of controversy, wasn't there? Ravi Chandran and Ashwin having quite a deep-heated conversation with one of the umpires, Mellon, who was essentially saying he was unsighted because Ashwin was running across his sight line. Explain to the listeners who possibly weren't awake at it would have been probably about 5:10 in the morning, what exactly was going on. Essentially, though, Ravi Chandran and Ashwin wasn't doing anything wrong, wasn't he? He wasn't breaking any laws of the game.
No, he wasn't breaking any laws of the game. But from a visual point of view for the umpire, I'd imagine he was getting right up the umpire's nose. He was getting right on his nerves. And that, to be fair, that's up to the umpire, that. He was bowling right arm round the wicket. And then by the point of contact when the ball was, the batsman was striking the ball, he would be in his follow-through as if he was coming over the wicket. So he's running, his follow-through is going right across the stumps, right across the umpire. But he wasn't going inside the 5-foot mark. So from that point of view, he's not breaking any laws of the game. But I think the umpire, from a visual point of view, had just had enough of that keep constant going across. And every now and again, he would go over. So it was, I think it was more getting on the umpire's nerves more than anything else. And I think he was having a word with him. And the bats knows Ashwin more than I will. But he looks as though he's quite a stubborn character. He's somebody who likes a little bit of confrontation when it gets into the battle. We've seen him sort of mankad a couple of people in the IPL when they were getting under his skin. So I think, and I noticed it was when, after you had the conversation with the umpire, he would last ball of the over, knowing that he wasn't going to have to get his cap off the umpire or anything like that, he would do it last ball of the over. And I think it was just to wind the umpire up, as to say, I'm not doing anything wrong here, you just do your job properly and make decisions. And the problem he had was the decision that the umpire made against Tom Latham wasn't one in the positive for our Ashwin. And maybe it's because he was going over and round the wicket, he wasn't sure from a line whether it was going to hit the stumps or it wasn't going to hit the stumps. And between the keeper, who was substitute, Rahane, and obviously Ashwin, that didn't go to the DRS, which was the problem, because if it had gone to DRS, it wouldn't have been umpire's call. All three reds were in a row and he would have been out. So I think the petulance of our Ashwin cost him that wicket.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, they went to lunch, buoyed by that late wicket of Kane Williamson, of course, a crucial one. and must have had a couple of cans of Red Bull during that 40 minutes break, because whilst it may have been a little bit of a crawl for the first session, suddenly play speeded up, and there was four wickets in that session as the test swung decisively towards India. Let's have a listen to how it played out.
That's a lovely shot from Ross Taylor. Over pitch from Umesh Yadav on his pads, and he's off the mark with a glorious clip through mid-wicket for four.
And that's out. That's caught behind. Beautiful bowling by Akshar Patel. So Ross Taylor is gone for 11. New Zealand, 214 for three. Oh, he goes for the sweep. I think that's outside our stump. Nick Menon completely disagrees with me. Henry Nicholls sweeping there, but he's been given out LBW for two.
Akshar Patel stumps. He's got him. He's gone. Tom Latham has gone for 95.
This one's bowled in. It's hit the foot marks. It's spun back through. It was a bit of a tentative push from an open face of Ravindra. So Ravindra has Ravindra. Bowled.
Yeah, Taylor going for 11, Nicholls for 2, Latham 5 short of a century, and Ravindra, who looked pretty good actually, certainly looked like he set up pretty well on debut, for 13. So 4 wickets falling in the afternoon session. Gareth Batty, give us your thoughts on Patel, because, you know, he was beating both sides of the bat, wasn't he? He was firing it in, he was putting side spin on, but as you may mention, it was his use of the crease. And the delivery points, it's certainly how he set up Ross Taylor for that dismissal. But you saw it throughout the innings. And, I mean, what is that? Is that 4 or 5 fifers in just 4 test matches? He's certainly made a huge impact. And when you consider he's having to bowl very often after the likes of Jadeja and Ashwin, and he's still taking fifers.
Yeah, I mean, it's 5 in 4 games now. By my reckoning, and I think that's not to be underestimated. What you just said there, John, he's coming in after 4 other bowlers. He's the 5th bowler. That's not an easy thing to deal with, sort of from a mental point of view. Particularly spinners trying to get 3 spinners into the game is a very difficult thing to do, particularly when you're the 3rd. And being a finger spinner, you know, it's slightly different if you're a leg spinner and you've got that sort of inconsistencies. He's very consistent and wants to bowl the overs. But I think the way that he did use the width of the crease was the difference between him and Jadeja, and even Ashwin to an extent. And I felt like you've got 2 balls that kind of highlight the fact that he used the crease so very well, and the ball was reacting differently. You've got Taylor, where he's gone wide of the crease, angled into the inside of off stump, turns, grips, nicked off to the keeper. Wonderful piece of bowling. But then he's got Blundell, where he's gone wide of the crease again, slightly canters the seam underneath so it doesn't quite grip the seam, actually skids on, stays real low and hits the base of off stump. 2 kind of similar balls, completely different reactions. So it's kind of a good luck play that, but he's actually using the conditions that he's been put in front of him with the surface. There are some inconsistencies, but getting it out of the pitch is not that easy. It is very skillful bowling that we've seen from Patel that has actually been the pick of all the bowlers in the game so far that's got the most out of the surface.
Yeah, 241 for 6 when Ravindra was dismissed. And then we saw quite a strange innings from Tom Blundell. He's a naturally attacking batsman, a wicketkeeper batsman. They always are, aren't they? Well, actually, apart from BJ Watling, who's just taken over from. But essentially, it was almost like New Zealand were very, very conscious. It was almost like they wanted to get through to tea without losing any more wickets. But also, I'm not sure what you think, Harmy, 13 from 94 he ended up with Tom Blundell. But at the same point, Carl Jameson, who is, he throws the bat around himself. I think he took 15 deliveries to get off the mark. Were New Zealand taking time out of the game? Was that the game plan there? Because, of course, unless they bowl India out on day 4, India are going to have to make a call on the target. That period of play just seemed to me like they were just trying to take time out of the game and just bring a draw back into the equation, because from that point onwards, I don't think anybody really could suggest, unless they bowl India out for 120, that New Zealand are going to win the game.
Yeah, but I think from Tom Blundell's point of view, he's batting at number 6. He's not. It's not as though he's batting at 7 or 8. He's in the top six. He's there to essentially score runs and try and give his team a chance to win the test match. If he got 13 off 94 balls, if he gets, if he faces 94 balls and gets 32, 33, that's, you know, just that takes time out of the game, because that's more runs that India need than further down the line. He just, from a visual point of view, he just looked as though he was there to block. There was no thought process. I'm trying to block it into this gap because I think I can get a single. Short legs being, you know, we've now got a short leg in, so I can hit, you know, I can go a little bit further across onto, you know, try and work onto the leg side to rotate the strike and get a single. There was none of that. It was just as though he was playing French cricket and he was blocking. And I thought he dug a hole for himself, which gave the Indian bowlers a bit of confidence, because let's be fair, at that point, you know, they weren't bowling that great, the Indian spinners. They were landing it in areas, and then the odd one was going down leg side where they were getting clipped. So I just thought the initiative went even further in India's favour because of how Tom Blundell batted. He's a number six who should be looking to get runs to give his team a better chance. It just, for some reason, it just didn't sit right for me, and I just thought the hole that he dug was going to put pressure on Jameson to long handle it, Southie long handle it a little bit later on, if they were going to get anywhere near the target that India got in the first innings. Was he trying to take some time out of the game? Yeah, quite possibly. But I think in the modern day, the way these test matches go, I think he was, if that was what he was trying to do, I think he picked the wrong option.
Yeah, interesting. Well, look, at Tay, 249 for 6. Blundell was still in at that point, but had played most of his innings. He fell quite soon after the tea break, followed by Southie as well. Jameson hung around. In fact, he was the third highest scorer. And William Somerville, without scoring many runs, stuck around 52 deliveries himself. Let's listen back to the highlights of the evening session.
Oh, he's bowled in. That one's kept low. Tom Blundell's gone. Bowled by Akshar Patel, who picks up his fourth wicket. Undone by the lack of bounce. There he goes. Jameson down the ground, over the infield. Nobody at long on. Oh, he's bowled him. Oh, that's a super delivery from Akshar Patel, who takes another fiver.
Ashwin, one more dot ball here for two maidens in a row. He flies this up, and Jameson goes for it. It's very high, though, and it's going to be caught by Akshar Patel.
And it's another pull shot, and it's a beautifully timed one from Ajaz Patel, and it's gone away for four.
Jameson coming in for his first ball of the second innings. He bowled him. He has gone straight through Shubman Gill. That is incredible. That is stumps. 14 for one after five overs. India lead by 63 runs.
So there we were, yes. New Zealand bowled out for 296, trailing by 49 runs, and it just gave the opening pair of India what turned out to be five overs to bat out. We only thought we'd only get three or four. The light was coming in, the clock was ticking towards stumps, but that was enough time for Cole Jameson to comprehensively dismiss Shubman Gill for just one. And, you know, Gill, you know, Harvey, Jameson's not a fast bowler, and it was almost like he was deceived by the length of the ball as much as anything, but he missed the ball by quite some distance, didn't deviate a great deal, and yeah, as I say, comprehensively bowled. And to be honest with you, Jameson probably should have got Pujara on at least two occasions following that. It could have been even worse for India.
Yeah, it's typical Kyle Jameson, drawing a batsman not from his height, not wanting a batsman, not wanting to come forward. That's first and foremost. Shubman Gill, young man, pretty inexperienced, who plays a lot of shorter format cricket, has just fielded for 142.3 overs. His feet look like they just fielded for 142.3 overs. So you do pick up, and that's what you, as a bowler, you know, these are the things that you try and target at the end of a long day when the opposition's been in the field for a long period of time. The opening batsmen have to come out. Well, then you try and challenge their footwork, whether it's, if you've got a little bit of pace in the wicket, I would always go short ball, try and push the batsman back and see, if he's on his toes to sort of fully come forward with a ball full towards the stumps. But this time the short ball's not in the game. Kyle Jameson got one to hit the top of the stumps, which is, from Shubman Gill's point of view, it's not a ball that he would ever think about coming forward to because of the size of Kyle Jameson. But unfortunately, that's what this big man does. He gets you caught on the crease because of the fuller length that he bowls. 9 test matches, 50 wickets, the quickest in New Zealand history, tells you that this kid is the real deal. And he showed it there tonight. And Bats made a good point in between innings about how to bowl on this surface. What, as a captain, you'd be looking to tell your bowlers to try and sort of look to challenge the inside of the bat. And if you have get any lateral movement from the swing, then, if it goes past the outside of the bat, even better from a mental point of view, from what's going to put doubt in the batsman's mind. But this one went straight on towards middle and off. It kept going and duly abide by knocking the timbers over. And it was just the boost that New Zealand needed.
A little bit of breaking news for you, actually, just coming through from Cricket South Africa. Their current series with Netherlands has been deferred, essentially. It's been paused because, of course, this new variant of COVID, which has emerged out of South Africa, which has meant travel bans around the world into Southern African countries. So the first of 3 ODIs was interrupted because of rain, or abandoned because of rain. The last 2 will not happen. The Netherlands team will stay in their hotel before they get out of South Africa. So that's a blow because, of course, even aside from the human aspect of this, of course, India are supposed to tour South Africa. And I'm not sure Cricket South Africa could afford for them not to, but that brings that into sharp focus. Just a couple of moments before we let you go. Bats looking ahead to day 4. That wicket and the fact that New Zealand clawed a little bit of time out of the game and, they got within 50 of India's first innings target just means we've got a game here, haven't we?
Absolutely, game on. You could see the body language of New Zealand this evening. They wanted to keep bowling tonight. They didn't want to come off. Admittedly, it's a good time to be bowling where you're not going to have a huge workload in your body. But, it would have been easy for them to say, look, we've had a pretty decent day. Come on, then let's go get our feet up. They were hunting wickets. I think that the hardest thing for India tomorrow will be to keep a clear mind of what they're actually looking to do for in the moment, not the bigger picture. The bigger picture is how many runs do they need before they pull out if they bat well. They'll be looking for some sort of a declaration. But there's a whole load of work required before that decision can be made. And it will be interesting to see how some young players go about their business when there's sort of a kind of a target in the distance. It'll be interesting to see how some senior players that are under a little bit of pressure with some of their superstars not playing this game, being rested, how they go about it. Are they going to play the match situation for themselves, or are they going to play the situation the team requires them? There's a lot of variables from the Indian point of view. Ultimately, they are in the box seat. Of course they are. But it's never quite as simple as just go out and get 300 runs in at a decent canter when the pitch is slightly turgid and there is a little bit on offer. I don't expect it to be pitching middle of the stumps and flying over the keeper's head. I think it's still a pretty good surface. But it's going to be a fascinating day tomorrow, that is for sure.
Brilliant stuff. Gareth Batty and Steve Harmison will be back alongside Neil Manthorpe and Jared Kimber from 4 a.m. In the UK on Sunday to bring all of the action. And we had some action today here on TalkSport 2.
Edged, oh, first slip, third slip, and it's gone through second slip. Oh, they've gambled with their slips, and it's come up, not trumped.
Ishan Sharma in once again, and that one's driven past the catching extra cover, out towards the cover boundary for 4.
Oh, that's caught behind. Outside from Ashwin, it's sad for Wu Young, because that was a magnificent innings from him. And he is very frustrated as he leaves the ground. Oh, I tell you what, he's just bowled an absolute... Oh, he's been given. He's been given. I thought that was going well over the top.
Gone.
Kane Williamson is out. And that's out. That's caught behind. Beautiful bowling by Akshar Patel. A ball pitched outside off stump. Taylor pushed at it. It left him. It was a big edge by the look of it. Very good hands by Barat, who missed him with the stumping earlier. So Ross Taylor is gone for 11. Oh, he goes for the sweep. I think that's outside our stump. Nick Menin completely disagrees with me. Henry Nichols sweeping there. He's reviewed it straight away. I think that's outside the line of off stump, but he's been given out LBW for two.
Akshay Patel stumps. He's got him. He's gone. Tom Latham has gone for 95.
This one's bowled in. It's hit the foot marks. It's spun back through. It was a bit of a tentative push from an open face of Ravindra. So Ravindra has Ravindra. Bowled. And that is T. 249 for six after 118 overs.
Oh, he's bowled him. Oh, that's a super delivery from Akshay Patel, who takes another fiver.
Ashwin, one more dot ball here for two maidens in a row. And he flows this up, and Jameson goes for it. It's very high, though, and it's going to be caught by Akshay Patel.
And it's another pull shot, and it's a beautifully timed one from Ajaz Patel, and it's gone away for four, and he's bowled him. Ravi Ashwin wraps things up, and New Zealand have been bowled out for 296.
Jameson coming in for his first ball of the second innings. He bowled him. He has gone straight through Shubman Gill. That is incredible. That is stumps. 14 for one after five overs. India lead by 63 runs.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.